This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Allinson is our senior pastor. Today's sermon is part two in a series titled, Into the Unknown, Facing Real Life with Grace. This message is taken from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31, and chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. Now here's Pete with today's message.
Brandon Kyleman and the band, you guys are wonderful. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I love your songs. You know, Everlasting God, How Great Is Our God, Mighty to Save. I have those on my MP3 when I'm jogging. And if you see me on Tuscarora Road mouthing words, I'm not probably speaking in tongues. I'm probably singing one of those songs. And thank you for leading us today in worship and bringing us into the presence of God. Before we look into His Word, let's bow our heads and our hearts briefly in prayer. Father, this morning we come into Your presence. We've worshiped You. We've come here today to listen to You. We ask now that You would open our minds and our hearts to Your Word, Lord. We need You more than anything else. And so we pray for the one who teaches that You would forgive him his sins and use one who is finite to communicate Your infinite truth. Today, as always, we want to hear from our Father, through our Lord, by the Holy Spirit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're new to Willow Creek, we're in a series that we started a couple of weeks ago that is really dealing with the fact that we are all walking into the unknown. So that's what we've titled it, Into the Unknown, Facing Life with Grace. We're looking ahead as to what we really see Jesus telling His disciples in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's traditionally called the Farewell Discourse of Jesus. That's what we've been looking at, Into the Unknown, a Farewell Discourse of Jesus. Now, that sounds a little bit dry. Sounds like a lecture in an Ivy League college or university, the Farewell Discourse of Jesus. But actually, this is probably the most passionate teaching time that Jesus ever gives His disciples. Now, you know that within the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are all kinds of messages of Jesus, all kinds of His sermons. In fact, Matthew is structured around the five major messages of Jesus. But here in John, we catch only in John what Jesus says to His disciples before He goes to the cross. So what we're going to hear Jesus teach His disciples in this series that we're looking at is the fact that He is leaving the earth and He is giving them, cramming into their minds and their hearts, last minute truth, because literally in a very short time, He is going to be arrested and He's going to go to the cross. And before you know it, He's going to be up there. And they're going to see chaos like they never, ever imagined. And so in this teaching time, Jesus is giving His disciples some essentials for survival as they go off into the chaos. Now, the big point I want you to get out of this sermon and this message is really this today. That when Jesus is telling His disciples that He's going to the cross and that they can survive because He is there, He's really saying to them, guys, I am going to the cross and I'm going to be gone. You are not going to see me bodily. But I will be here literally. That's the point. That's the big idea that we need to get across. Will there be a very real presence of Jesus after the cross? And the answer is, absolutely, there will be. Now, let's do a little ecclesiastical differences, okay? Some churches, when they do communion, the Lord's Supper, they say that when the elements are blessed by the one up front, that the elements actually change. Others say the elements don't change. Well, let's do a little talking here about that real quick. So when we have communion and we pass out the bread, it's in this church we use the matzah, the Jewish matzah, the unleavened bread, symbolic that the Messiah would be sinless. So when we pass out the matzah and I pray over it, does it become literally the body of Jesus? No, it does not. Some would differ with us on that. When we pass out the grape juice and in these little shot glasses, and I don't know what else to call it. That's what they are. They're Christian shot glasses. They're about this big. And we pass out the grape juice. What is it? It's Welch's. You know, it's what we don't, and we use only the very finest grape juice here. We don't use wine because some people come from alcoholic backgrounds, and just that much, just a shot, would take them back, and so we just don't do that. Others use wine, but let me ask you this: when we pray over that, and when we take the cup, does the wine become the literal blood of Jesus? I don't believe so. But now think. When we take communion, is Jesus literally here? You don't know what to say. He's going to trip us up. Is Jesus literally here? Answer? Yes. Bodily? Literally? Yes. Jesus said, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the ages. You can't go anywhere where I will not be." He's walking here now. He's here. Well, that's the main point he's trying to get across to his disciples. That even though he's going to the cross, even though bodily he will not be seen, he nevertheless will be here literally. And that's so important for God's people to know, because as we live this life, as we go into the world, we're going into a world that is so often filled with absolute chaos. And that's why last week Jesus taught us in John 14, he said, calm down, get cool. Remember the words we taught? He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Remember that as a command, not a suggestion? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And so if we will do that as we move into the chaos, Jesus says, listen, here's the bottom line, John 14, 12. Greater works than I do will you do. Because I go to the Father. I go to the Father, but I'm with you. I am with you, and you guys will even do greater in extent. No, none of us could go to the cross. But greater in its impact in terms of Jesus never left Israel. But look what has happened since Jesus left planet Earth in a bodily way. The gospel has gone everywhere. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples how to not only survive, but to thrive. And we're going to look at two survival principles he gives us today. Somebody sent me this email. I loved it. In 2005, Chuck moved to Texas and bought a donkey from a farmer for $100. The farmer agreed to deliver the donkey the next day. And the day he drove up, he came up to the man. He said, "I got some bad news, Chuck. The donkey died." He said, "No problem. Just give me my $100 back." He said, "I can't do that. I've already spent it." Chuck said, "Okay, well then give me the dead donkey." He goes, "What are you going to do with the dead donkey?" He said, "Well, I'm going to raffle him off." Farmer said, "You can't raffle off a dead donkey." He said, "Watch me. Sure I can. I'm not going to tell anybody he's dead." So a few months later, the farmer ran into Chuck. He said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Well, I raffled off the donkey. I sold 500 tickets at $2 a piece, made a profit of $998. Farmer said, "Did anybody complain?" He said, "No, only the one who had the winning ticket. I gave him his $2 back." Chuck was immediately recruited by the government and now works for the United States Treasury Department. And you know, I don't understand all those policies. I know how to balance my checkbook, but I don't understand economics at that level. And neither do most of us. It's so complex. We go into, there's a lot of people who are in very, very difficult times. You know, we're pulling back. We're not spending as much. We're saying, "Whoa, I gotta watch." Christian ministries and charities are asking everybody who gave in the past to give twice now, as much ever. I mean, there's a lot of pressure. One friend of mine said he's doing a job description he did 5 years ago, and he feels like he's backtracking. Sometimes we're frustrated at this. We're mad at God, some of us. But the fact is, no matter what age you are, you're going through something. You're going into the unknown in some particular ways. Gordon MacDonald gave this great list. In the 20s, people in the 20s are asking questions like, "How am I any different from anybody else in my own family? How do I set apart? How am I going to pay for my way through life? How am I going to do this? Who am I really? And is there a place for me in the 30s? People in the 30s, they're kind of saying, I've got all these responsibilities now. Life is not quite as fun as it was. I've got all these people running around my house. They're very small. I don't know what to do with them all. My schedule is very busy. My marriage has less intimacy than it. Is it ever going to get back to where there'd be more intimacy, more free time, more fun? I feel confused. My spiritual center is not always there. In their 40s, people are saying, how come my peers are doing better than me? Because in your 40s, you begin to really see, whoa, they're making light years progress more than I am. You're saying, are my kids going to turn out okay? Is my marriage going to have any life to it? Why do I want to go back to the carefree days of my youth? Do I have to scale back? In your 50s, you're thinking, I'm obsolete. My body is not as dependable as it used to be. I don't like this job anymore. Am I going to have to do this the rest of my life? The unknown is there. It's just that in the 60s, you're saying, man, I'm getting older. I mean, I'm getting old. In the 70s, I'm getting real old. I'm going to die. Somebody said, you know you're getting old when you bend down and tie your shoe and you ask, while I'm down here, is there anything else I should do? I mean, that's just a fact. You know, I think about that. How am I going out? I'm going out swinging. I don't know. But we're all going into the unknown. And Jesus wants us to know that He is going to be with us. That we're not alone. There's a future in heaven. Remember last week, I go to prepare a place for you. We're not really afraid of death as Christians. Sometimes we're more afraid of life. And so Jesus gives two survival principles. Let me back up. Two thrival principles? I don't know if that's a word, but he wants to give us two principles, not only to survive, but to thrive. To do greater things than he did. So let's look at them. If you've got your Bible, turn to John 14, 15 through 31. Real quick, let's take a look at that. Because this is God's word as Jesus continues giving us. Look for the two principles. Okay, you ready? Here we go. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father. And he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you'd be glad because I'm going to the Father. For the Father's greater than I. Not greater in being or greater in substance, but greater in this role now. Jesus humbles himself as the Savior in the world. And so he says the Father's greater than me because he's living in obedience to the Father. I've told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer. The prince of this world is coming. The chaos is coming. The darkness is coming. Judas will betray me shortly. And then you think it's bad now, you wait. He has no hold on me, the prince of the world. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come, let us leave. Did you catch the two points? The first one, survival and thrival principle is the principle of motivated obedience. Jesus says, as you go into the chaos and the unknown, obey. Look, John 14, 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. John 14, 21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Now, as I was just studying this week, and I have preached on this passage before, I've been around a long time and have taught this passage before, but something struck me about how random verse 15 seemed after Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. And then he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You'll obey my commandments. I thought that sounds kind of random. And then the more I saw how it was woven down through the rest of these verses, verse 21 and the other verses, I realized how important obeying Jesus is in the midst of the battle. During the summer, I presented a couple of the young men in our church, Tommy Elliott, who was going to boot camp, basic training. Now he's a Marine. And Mark Nelson, who's gone to the Air Force Academy, and he's gone through the basics. And remember, I presented both those guys, some of you see, and they're through some of the hardest. They're not through it all, but they're through some of the hardest part right now. Now they're coming back at Thanksgiving. I think both of them are. I'm going to try and talk to them both at Thanksgiving. One of my questions is going to be, all right, so how was basic training? How was boot camp? How was it? No, I mean, how really?